So who is this Jeff Roney anyway?
Well, that's me. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychologist, a pastor, or a priest. I'm just a Christian guy with a radio TV degree that has lots of questions.
What is a Roney Zone?
Okay, a Roney Zone is a place where we ask real people tough questions, and we get real answers. The place where we get beyond the who, the what, the where, the when, and get to the why. The why is always the most interesting part.
What is Roney Zone Radio?
Well, now that's the question. Roney Zone Radio is a show that allows people to tell their stories. A show that allows us to look at any subject from many sides. Roney Zone Radio is a place where we have fun, we talk, we listen, and we help each other walk this road of life. I think what's cool about this show and about living is the minute you think you have everything figured out, you meet somebody that has learned something that you haven't learned or that you need to learn. So this is a great way to talk and listen and learn.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm doing it. Roney Zone Radio, a very, 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 very different podcast.
Roney Zone Radio.
Welcome to Roney Zone Radio Spotlight. Spotlight is a time when we really focus on something and we bring something out. Maybe it's a website, maybe it's a thought, maybe it's an idea, maybe we encourage you to do certain things. Maybe it's how to use your cell phone to kind of help you make your life easier, help you to stay on top of your different projects that you have to do, whatever. I felt that since this was the first show of 2006, I want to talk about breaking procrastination. Procrastination is just the worst. It can make your life miserable. It can help you have a cluttered life, a cluttered house, a cluttered car, just awful. So the key is we want to face procrastination head on. And procrastination really is putting things off that you need to do right now. And so it is really kind of a change of your focus. Now, with procrastination, there is basically two parts. There is getting done what you need to get done right now, which washing dishes, cleaning up a room, cleaning out a car, taking care of some paperwork for business. There is a task that you need to do, and then there is a reward. And procrastination means jumping over the task, getting the reward, and then just getting reward after reward after reward until the point of you haven't got done what you need to get done. And you're just enjoying the rewards, but you're not doing the task. And that can be maybe eating the wrong types of food, whatever that means for you. And so I say, let's break procrastination. Let's take the steps. And it may mean big steps. You may have a room that's just out of control, cluttered, crazy. And if you look at it, you just go out of your mind. But if you take it step by step, like maybe taking one section of a closet and say, I'm going to clean that out, and then I'm going to clean the next one out and the next one out, and you break it into parts and you set little rewards for the goals that you need to do. So let's take that first step. Break procrastination. Do now what you need to do. And also, let's set some goals for this year. Everyone talks about doing New Year's resolutions. So let's set three goals. Let's set a long-term goal for your life, whatever that means. Maybe it's starting your own company. And with the long-term goal, let's set mini goals too, so they can be measured. So if you want to take an online class, maybe get a business mentor, maybe get your business license, whatever. Those little mini goals, you can track those. And then set a business goal. Maybe your business goal is to maybe be a manager or achieve another goal or maybe go to another company. Whatever that is your ultimate goal. And you can set mini goals to get there. Maybe it's dress nicer, maybe it's take an online class, whatever. And then set a personal goal. Maybe it is losing weight. That's probably everybody's goal. Then make small little steps there. Go see your doctor, period. Go see your doctor, see what your doctor has to say, and then he can also assist you in that. But if there's other personal goals that you want to set those goals as well. The key is get an accountability person, a person that is your friend or someone who's honest with you that really can kind of help you stay on the path that you need to stay to achieve your goals. And then also you may want to write it down. Write down all your goals. Put it somewhere. Get a journal. You do a blog so that you can achieve and track your achievement or failure of your goals. I want this year to be the best year that you've ever had. And I want you to be a much better person and whatever that means to you. So thank you for listening to Roni's Own Radio Spotlight. Welcome everybody to 2006 and welcome to Roni's Own Radio. I just want to say just a couple of things. We have a multi-part interview, review, roundtable discussion about the group U2, about a book called Walk On by Steve Stockman, and also we're going to look at the church in America. It is going to be one wild ride. It is going to be very controversial, so I hope you enjoy it. Another thing I want to talk about is the website. We are really focusing on that to make it better. I'm working with a guy right now to do it in a different way so that it's a little faster loading and it's more interactive and it's easier for me. So it is going to be a place I hope that you visit over and over and over. Our hits are up, our downloads are up, and I really want to be at a point in March where we have 1,000 hits an average a day. And I'm really going to work towards that goal. I'm really going to push this show harder and harder. And I think as you listen to these next few interviews, you're going to see that there is a real depth to this show. And it's not just, I mean, we're going to have fun. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's going to be subjects that we just laugh and have a good time. But I really want to do some subjects that are very thought-provoking, deeper than most. So, hello, this is Jeff. And I have re-listened to the show, and I want to make a couple of points more clear than I think weren't made, is that when I re-listened to the show, I realized that the point of the warning about drinking alcohol really wasn't as strong as I felt it should have been. Is what we were discussing is that some people can drink and it may or may not be a problem. The problem that we were discussing is someone that sees someone drinking and making a judgment call about their spiritual walk. Okay? That's what we were discussing. But let's set that aside for a second. The Bible clearly says not to drink to excess or drink to drunkenness. In Proverbs, it warns against strong drink. And we want to give a warning about drinking alcohol. It's not something that you should not think about and not care about. You need to know your own self, what you can do and what you can't do. And if you cannot handle your alcohol, you shouldn't drink it. If you can drink a drink and not have a problem going back for more and more and more, then that's great too. So we, as a family here at this show, just say, be careful with alcohol. Thank you. Without any further ado, let's go to U2, Inside and Out.
I believe in evil. I feel like this was our moment, you know, and I just don't want to blow it. I can't imagine what life would be like without U2. You know, maybe one day I'll find out.
Welcome back, everyone, to Roni's Own Radio. I am joined by my two favorite females, my lovely wife, Colleen.
Hi.
And my good friend, Kim.
Hello.
Okay. Now, today, we're going to be talking about just a whole lot of things, a whole lot of subjects. The theme of this interview is U2, Inside and Out. We're going to talk about the band. We're going to talk about a book that was written by a great guy named Steve Stockman called Walk On, The Spiritual Journey of U2. And it talks about many different facets of the band. It talks about the beliefs of Bono. And we're also going to be talking about the church tonight. and we're going to really take a close, focused look at the church today. And this is going to be quite a controversial interview, but I think it's going to be good in the end, so stick with it. It's going to be fine. Okay, let's geek out for a little bit. Colleen, tell me why you like U2.
I like U2 for the music. They have great lyrics. There's great melodies. There are certain songs that have a little more driving beats. There's the slower songs that are more melodic. They're a great band, and they know how to put on a really great show.
Okay. And we did see them.
Yes, we did.
Last time.
August.
They came through town. Kim, what are your thoughts on the band U2?
I think it's amazing that they've been able to stay around as a band of the four the four members of the same band for 25 years now, or 24, 25 years now. I think that is an amazing testament, and not to mention the diversity of their sounds, how they've been able to change and reinvent themselves almost for this sound that we have today, that I fully enjoy them on every level. Lyrically, musically, and I feel that the world is really a privilege to be able to have something like them out there.
True. Now, I've liked U2 for many, many years, and we'll talk about my lapse of liking them in a little bit, but I spent 4 years of my college time arguing whether U2 was Christian or not. So U2 and I have been through a whole lot together. And I love the band. I love the music. I love what they stand for. And we're going to talk about a lot of that later. But the bottom line is I really love their music. I'm a fan from way back. Let's start. U2, where did they meet?
Mount Temple School.
There you go. Mount Temple School.
Wow. Okay. I didn't remember that.
Okay. So they met in school, and they also went to this Shalom prayer group. Which, if you're listening to this and you're in America, you go, big deal. They went to a prayer group. But I want to take a little time and talk about the difference between religion in Ireland and religion in America. Do you have any thoughts on that, Kim? We'll start with you.
Well, a religion in Ireland is really tumultuous or fierce. Protestants and the Catholics have been at war ever since William the Orange defeated King James. And as far as that goes, I mean, that's a little history on it. You know, they've just been at war. And so when you have, like, any thoughts on religion, it's always been more of a bent on Catholicism, although the Protestants do exist there. But they've always been, I don't know, it's almost like the Protestants have held the thought of the Catholics are, you know, just wrong and and they're right and vice versa. And so it's just, there's not a good atmosphere when it comes to religion in Ireland, basically, in a nutshell.
Okay. We'll talk about religion in America in just a little bit, but let me ask you just a couple of questions. Are there any televangelists in Ireland?
No.
Okay. Are there Harvest Crusades in Ireland?
None that I know of.
There may be like a Billy Graham crusade or something like that.
Yeah, and there may be those. I think there have been groups that have tried to set up in Dublin because of the bombings. You know, like youth centers to kind of bring together, you know, feeling of unity. But to my knowledge, they've never really taken off.
No. Now, Colleen, what is the? Let's talk about America. Churches in America.
Okay. Churches in America. Pretty much you can throw a rock and hit about three of them in most cities across the country. And there are many places that I personally have seen. You'll have a Catholic church on one side of the street. You'll have a Jewish temple on the other, or a synagogue on the other side of the street. You will have a Mormon church 500 yards away. You'll have a Methodist church, a Presbyterian, all on the same street. So churches in America, they're almost a dime a dozen. And pretty much any possible religion you can think of, you can come across. They're everywhere. That's pretty much what I know.
let's kind of talk about the differences, then it's very different here.
Absolutely. In Ireland, it's pretty much you have two choices, and that's about the extent of it. I'm not saying that they don't have others, but the prevalence is definitely you're either Protestant or Catholic. There is no alternate. There's no in-between. Whereas in America, you could be a Jehovah's Witness, you could be Catholic, you could be Mormon, you could be Scientology, you could be Unitarian. I mean, there are so many different denominations, and there's not this tug of war between the churches here for any kind of power play or anything like that. It's completely different. Definitely much more free here.
That's true. Now, Kim, where do they eat dinner a lot when they go out to eat in Ireland?
I guess it would probably be a local pub.
Which is a what?
A kind of a conglomerate of a bar and a steakhouse.
Okay. Okay. Is there a lot of drinking in Ireland?
You bet.
Okay. What is the age to drink in Ireland?
18, correct?
It's very young.
Right.
Compared to America.
Okay. Correct.
Okay. So we're building a little picture here, and you'll get where we're going. Now, in America, it's very different. We have, where do we eat?
We have 8 million choices. There are pizza places. There are Chili's, Olive Garden, you name it. They're everywhere. Outback Steakhouse. The possibilities are endless. You have Chinese food. You have American food. You have Italian food. You have Mexican food. It's anything you could possibly think of.
Now,
and yes, there are bars, and people do eat in some of those bars, but it's not a typical traditional type of a restaurant where you have the bar and the restaurant all in the same area. It's usually very segregated. You have a restaurant that might actually have a bar.
Right.
You have some restaurants that don't have bars, but they might serve some sort of form of alcohol.
How different is the culture, Kim, between Ireland and America?
Well, I would say that it would be very it's very different.
Okay.
Like Colleen was saying, you know, they're very different because they're, like we were saying earlier, the age for drinking is much lower, and it's almost instilled with them that drinking is a part of their culture. If you would ask me, because I mean, you've got the rich stouts that have generated from there, that it's almost a national pastime there, you know. I don't know. I just feel that it's a part of, just like wine would be a part of maybe the French culture.
Right.
You would have a stout being a part of the Irish culture.
True. One more editor's note. I want to make sure that this is clear, and we didn't specify it, so I really want to make sure it's clear. Is I mentioned before that when I was in college for 4 years, I argued that U2 was a Christian band. And I would say, look at the lyrics here. Look at what they're talking about. They are a Christian band. And I would hear responses back. No, they drink, they smoke, they party. They're not a Christian band. And even when I would go to my church and I would really play a song, and I'd say, yeah, listen to that lyric. And they go, no, they drink, and they smoke, and they party. So their aversion to U2 always centered around the drinking aspect and the partying aspect. So that's what really pushed me to ask this question right here.
Right.
Now, Colleen, do you think it's right to hold an American standard up to an Irish person?
It's ridiculous.
Okay.
Because they wouldn't turn around and hold their standards up to us Americans. Why should anybody hold anyone's standards up to another culture? It makes no sense. It's really very almost elitist.
Yeah. And we will definitely touch on that in a little bit. I definitely wanted to set this framework up because it's very important as we continue. Okay. Let's talk about the virgin prunes. Colleen, do you know anything about the virgin prunes?
You're asking me to remember. If I remember correctly, the Virgin Prunes was a band or a group that was a group of young men that were friends of U2, the members of U2. I want to say his name is Gavin.
Right.
And he is one of the members of the Virgin Prunes and is probably one of their closest friends.
That's right. Now, Gavin Friday
is his name.
The singer of the Virgin Prunes. And I believe that the Edge's brother is the guitar player for that band.
Oh.
Okay. I vaguely remember reading that, yes.
Okay. The importance of the virgin prunes is they brought a real showy aspect to their music. They would have a play type of thing. It's almost like, I don't know if anybody remembers David Bowie, Genesis, that it was not just music, it was a show.
Absolutely.
That there was maybe a movie or something going on, or some type of really overacting going
costumes.
On. Costumes and all this. Early U2, they wore capes and elevator shoes and they wanted to stand out. They did not want to be
just another band.
And you may say, well, what are you talking about? That's weird. If you've been to Zoo TV, you understand the influence of Virgin Prunes, period. Okay?
Right.
Now, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But just a little bit of trivia. U2's original names, do you know?
I can't remember. I don't recall.
Okay. One of them was Feedback. That was one. I think the other one was The Hype, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay? I vaguely remember The Hype.
Right.
Feedback doesn't sound quite so familiar.
Feedback, yep.
But that doesn't make any sense.
Okay. So, they recorded their first album, which was called Boy.
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 Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of themes in there about growing up and how it is a struggle to grow up. You're young, but you have to face this world in Ireland, where the two religions that are supposed to be good are fighting. Blowing each other up with bombs and car bombs and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
So, Boy came out.
There.
It was their first album.
Didn't they start out really on underground college mm-hmm. radio stations?
Yep. Yeah. I would say a lot of the really big bands like REM did that. They appealed to the kids, the college group, college radio, and college radio would give bands like that a chance. So, that was a good choice for them. Now, October. Has anyone heard the album October? Have you heard October?
I'm sure I've heard a few of the songs off of October.
Okay. Kim?
No, not really.
Okay. I will smite you later.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure if you were to play some of the songs like Colleen, I would recognize them. But
okay.
as far as October the album.
Being able to name some of the songs off there is a little tougher to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in our defense.
Well, this interview is going down pretty quick.
No.
Now, okay. Now let's go back. They met in the Shalom prayer group, which in the Irish society, in the community there, it was almost they were charismatic. I mean, it was huge for people to actually get together and pray in a prayer group. They sure woke up the Bono
right, that's right.
and the Edge and Larry's fervor for God. And Adam at that point was not interested. Well, this brings us to the end of another Roni Zone Radio. I'd appreciate that you would tell everyone that you really think this show would be a benefit to about this show, about our website. And I thank you so much. This is Jeff Roni signing off.
Roni Zone Radio.